Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tadi Tedem and Aleph, Faith Lines Down. The Gemara here is discussing the issue of Zroa Bishela, which we have now indicated is the source for the fact that 60 times or 100 times is the level of Bitul. The Gemara was only bothered by the fact that we had an additional Braita that seemed to indicate Zehu Heter Abba Michlal Yisur. Whatever is true by Zroa Bishela is only true by Zroa Bishela and not by other items. So the Gemara then is thinking, if 60 and 100 times come from Zroa B'Sheila, maybe that's only true by Zroa B'Sheila, it's not true by any other item. So we had the answer of Abaye that suggested that it has to do with Min B'Mino, according to Reb Yehuda. And that's what the exception to the rule is, that Zroa B'Sheila, even though it's Min B'Mino, there is Bitul, as opposed to anywhere else, where Min B'Mino, according to Reb Yehuda, is not Batel. Rava gave the possible answer that it's got to do with Tam Ki Ikar by Kodoshim, which is normally Asur by Zroa B'Sheila. It would not be Asur. We saw the Machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to how to read that. And now we have a third possibility as to how to explain that. Ravina Amar, Nitzrecha Ela Makom Chatach. You need it for the place where the cut happens. De'amar, Makom Chatach Ba'alma Asur. In general, the place where you cut is Asur. V'hocha Shori. And over here it's Mutar. Rav Shi references you back to the Gemara on Samached Amud Bet. We spoke about an Ubar that sticks its arm or leg out of the womb and then retracts it. Over there the Gemara discusses that the arm itself or the leg itself is Asur because it went out of its Mechitza. The question is, when you cut it off, is that area where you cut it off, the Makom HaChatach, is that also Asur? So there the Gemara differentiates between whether if it remains out, where the Makom HaChatach will be Asur, versus the case where it retracts it, that it would be Mutar, Makom HaChatach. But you see that the Makom HaChatach in general is problematic. And by Zroa B'Sheila, that's not the case. So here, when you cook the animal together with the Zroa and then you cut it off, when you cut the Zroa away from the remainder of the animal, which is the Shlamim, that's going to go to the Balim, and the Zroa is going to go to the Kohen, that part of Makom HaChatach is not problematic. That's unique to Zroa B'Sheila. Everywhere else, the Makom HaChatach will be problematic. Now, the Balei Tosafot note over here that we find in other places in Kodoshim that also you cut things away and Makom HaChatach is not problematic. And he says, in this instance, according to Ravina, versus the case of Abaye and Rava, where there's something unique about Zroa B'Sheila, which is particular to the Pasuk that indicates that there's something different, then you can say that it applies to Zroa B'Sheila. It doesn't apply to other areas of Kodoshim. That's not true by Makom HaChatach. The Makom HaChatach by Zroa B'Sheila is no different than when you cut away other things in Kodoshim. Because there's nothing inherent in Zroa B'Sheila that tells you, oh, the place where you cut it is Mutar. Just we're saying, because the Torah tells you you have to separate it away, we're assuming that when you separate it away, that's all you need to do. You don't have to do any more. Tosafot says that's equally applicable in any other of the Kodoshim, or rules of Kodoshim. And if you say other Kodoshim are Asurim, so too by Zroa B'Sheila, you would say that it's Asur. So Tosafot creates a distinction that's not between Zroa B'Sheila and other Kodoshim, rather Zroa B'Sheila and Chulin. That means that anything in the world of Kodoshim will be subject to the rule of Zroa B'Sheila, which means that Makom HaChatach is Mutar. Anything outside the world of Kodoshim will be subject to the din of Makom HaChatach being Asur, and really the main instance of that is the case where you have an Ubar B'Meimo that sticks a limb out, and you have to cut it off. That would be the area where Makom HaChatach is Asur. There are other cases in Chulin, but that's the main case that we'd be speaking about. Tosafot says that's why the Gemara in this instance doesn't ask the same questions it asked in all the other instances. By Abaye and Rava, the Gemara says, why doesn't Zroa B'Sheila become the paradigm? And let's learn from it. So the Gemara brings an alternate pasuk to indicate otherwise in Kodoshim. By Abaye brought the pasuk of Lakach Midama Parmi Midama Seir to teach you that there's no Bitul B'min B'mino. And then by Rova we brought the pasuk of Kolashi Gabib Sarah Yigdash from Chatat. Then the Gemara asks the question, how do you know which pasuk is the paradigm? How do you know that Zroa B'Sheila is not the paradigm and the other pasuk is the paradigm? And the Gemara's answer every time is that Zroa B'Sheila is a Chidush. Therefore, the other pasuk is the paradigm, and that's why Zroa B'Sheila is distinct from the other items. The Gemara doesn't go through that over here, and thus what it says, the reason is, because what I'm saying, there is no distinction between Zroa B'Sheila and other Kodoshim. So over here, there's no reason to ask why by other Kodeshim is the Chatach Asur, and over here it's Mutar. Gemara doesn't ask that over here. Gemara doesn't say, why doesn't Zeruah B'Sheila become the paradigm versus the other item? There is no other item. Zeruah B'Sheila is the paradigm, and all Kodeshim have the same din. And for that reason, the Gemara doesn't have that continuation that it had by the answer of Abaye and Rava. And now we move on to Yotiv Rav Dimi Vikamar Laha Shmatita. He was saying over this Memra, which is this machloket as to whether the standard Bittul is 60-1 or 100-1. And we had before that Ravasi, in the name of Yishum and Levi, in the name of Bar Kapara, said Kol Yisrim Shvatarah Bimeya. Is it really true that 100-1 is the ratio for all the Yisrim B'Torah? Vatnan. Don't we have a Mishnah in Orla? The Ma Amru Kol Mechametz Umitabel Umidabeya Lehachmir. Where is the instance, or where are the situations in which we say that anything that is a rising agent, anything that is a spicing material, or Midameya, or there's a mix, Midameya is Chulin and Truma that are mixed together. So in all these instances, we're speaking about, for instance, Truma, that was brought in as a rising agent and put into Chulin. You have Truma spices that were put into something that was Chulin. You have Truma and Chulin that were cooked together. Lehachmir min b'mino. Then when it comes to min b'mino, it's always l'chumra. Lehakel ulehachmir min v'she'enu mino. In a case where it's min she'enu mino, sometimes it's the kula, sometimes it is the chumra. So somewhat of a cryptic statement in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah itself explains it. V'ktani seifa, the latter half over there, explains what was said in the first part of the Mishnah. It's really two Mishnayot, but it's the latter half. Lehakel ulehachmir. What does it mean that sometimes the kula, sometimes the chumra? Min v'she'enu mino. That's the case of min she'enu mino. Ketzad. What is an example of this? Give me an explanation of what you're speaking about. Grisin shenitbashluim hadashim. If you have legumes that were cooked together with lentils. So that's min she'enu mino. You have two different items, two different flavors, and now they're cooked together. Im yesh b'hem v'notein tam. If there is flavor that's given from the grisim of truma to the adashim of chulin, ben sheyesh b'hem la'alot b'me'a ve'achad, ben ein b'hem la'alot b'me'a ve'achad, asur. Irrespective of whether you have the amount that would be mevatalit, or you don't have the amount that would be mevatalit, it is problematic because no tein tam. No tein tam is a problem. And irrespective of the ratios between the item of Isur and the item of Heter, here there's no real Isur, it's just that it's Truma, which means it'd only be the Kohen that could eat it, not the Israel. But that ability to be Mevatel something doesn't override Tom. So if Tom is there, then Tom governs. Now with regards to 100-1 over here, the 100-1 is really a derivative of the Din in Truma. And this is different than the 100-1 that we're speaking about before. The 100-1 we're speaking about before, or the 60-1 that we're speaking about before, is the level of Bitul. Even the one who believes that 60-1 is the level of Bitul, which are called Yisurim B'Torah, by Shuma, he agrees that the ratio is 100-1. That's based on the Pasuk that's found by Trumat Maser, which says that Mikol Chelbo et Mikdasho Mimenu. That means that the fats, or the better piece, which is really the part that you're going to separate away, et mikdasho mimenu. And the Gemara darshins from that, et mikdasho mimenu, means that if the chelev, meaning the piece that he took off, falls back into it, it will be mikadeshit. It will cause a problem. Well, if you're speaking about trumat maser, maser is 1/10 of the item. Trumat maser is 1/10 of the maser that was taken off, or in essence, 1/100th of the total item. So if I separate out Trumat Maser, it says here, if it falls back in, then it is Mikdasho Mimenu, it's Kadosh. It has a problem of Truma. So the ratios that we're speaking about here then mean 99-1. Because you have 100, you're taking one off, that one falls back in, it makes it Asur. That means when you have 99 of Heter and one of Isur, or 99 of Chulin, one of Truma, then you have something that is not Batel, Mikdasho, it makes it Kadosh. The implications of that are, if you had 100-1, then it would be batel. That's the limud that teaches you that by truma, 100-1 is mivatel. So now, in a case of notein tam, In this instance, since there is no taintam, even though you have enough heter, you have 100 to 1 in this case, it's still asur, the tam alo batil. You can't get rid of tam. If there's flavor, it's not batel. Batel means that it doesn't exist. It's not there. Here you know it exists because the flavor is there. Therefore, nothing matters in terms of ratios. Tam governs and you have a problem. Everything's going to have to be treated like truma. On the other hand, Abraham ben notain tam, if they don't give over flavor, ben sheish ben lalot b'meh v'echad, ben Abraham lalot b'meh v'echad, mutar. Whether they have 100 to 1 or whether they don't have 100 to 1, doesn't matter, you're fine, because ein behem benotein tam. There is no flavor over here. So the ratios don't matter because there's no dain tam. Now, what the Gemara is basically asking is, what is the level where that makes sense? You have something that's saying ein benotein tam, and then it's saying that you don't need 100 to 1 in that situation. Well then, what do you need in order for the tam to be batel? The Tosfot says it's very easy. Why don't you just get a kohen to taste it? If a kohen tastes it, he'll tell you there's no tam, and then you don't need any ratios because you know there's no tam. We discussed before, and this is the Machloket Rashi and Tosafot that we saw yesterday, what is the 60 to 1 doing over here? Is the 60 to 1 a proxy for ein bo tam? Because we don't know if there is tam or there isn't tam. So we assume when you have 60 to 1 here, then you don't have tam. But that means that if you know there's no tam there, then you don't need 60 to 1. Or, is 61 separate from the notain tam? That's what Rashi believes. Rashi believes that ein bo ben notain tam is just one of the two thresholds you need to meet. The one threshold is ein bo ben notain tam. The second threshold is you need then to have 60 to 1. You need both of them in order for it to be mutar. By Tosafot say that 60 to 1 is synonymous with ein bo tam. Rashi thinks of them as being two separate thresholds. Therefore, he's got to explain over here that the necessity for 60 times is absolute. On the other hand, the Baal Yad Tosafot can use the Timat HaKohen to eliminate the need for 60 times. And Tosafot in the end says, Eino Hanami, if the Kohen tasted it, you wouldn't need to meet the 60 threshold. So then why doesn't the Gemara just say that the case here is a case where it was Timat HaKohen, and that's why 60 works and you don't need to go 100 times? So Tosafot says you can't really answer that over here because the Mishnah has what he calls extraneous language. If it wanted to tell you that simply the Kohen tasted it and there's no tam, then the Mishnah should have just written ein behem and notein tam mutar. That's what it should have written. What's this extra flowery language of ben sheish behem lalot b'meh v'echad, ben ein behem lalot b'meh v'echad? What does all of that have to do with anything? That doesn't matter. Ein behem and notein tam, just have the Kohen taste it, you'd be done. The fact that it adds in this additional language, the Gemara says from that ein behem lalot b'meh v'echad, Elabemai. Then what is the ratio that you have here? La bishishim. Isn't it 60 times? So what they're saying is, Abraham and notain tam means they don't have notain tam, but they do not have to reach then the standard bitol of truma, which is 100 to 1. So what level are they reaching that is saying there's no notain tam, yet you don't have to reach then the 100 to 1, which is your standard truma bitol. So it must be that it's 60 to 1. What that proves to you is that 60 to 1 is the standard level of bitul, and once you have 60 to 1, you don't have tam in there, or we can assume there is no tam in there. So the statement is 60 to 1, that's why ein bo notain tam, then you don't have to worry about getting to 100 to 1, or whether you don't have 100 to 1, because you have the 60 to 1, which is ein behem notain tam. So that tells you that there is a different threshold in truma, where you have ein bo notain tam. And once you have ein bo ben notain tam, the 100 to 1 is no longer relevant. You don't need to reach that threshold of 100 to 1. Now, Rashi over here, he says, the chi be'inan echad umeya, hechad isure be'einehu. When you need 100 to 1 then by truma, is only when the isur is extant. Avahacha delecta be'ene. Over here where the isur is not extant, lo be'inan echad umeya, hare lahakel. Then we don't need 100 to 1, and we're much more makil. So Rashi says over here, v'min she'enu mino, when you don't have tam, then 60 to 1 works. When do you need 100 to 1? That's when the item is still there. Aval min v'mino, lo lam l'hachmir. When it comes to min v'mino, we always say that you need 100 to 1. D'lo mishtari de'ika tarte l'tibuta. That you need two things in order to allow you to have something be batel. Ein notein tam, you need both of them. You need ein notein tam, plus you need the 100 to 1. So by min b'mino, Rashi says you always need both thresholds. You need ein bo minotein tam, and you need the threshold of 100 to 1. By min she'eino mino, it depends. If there is no tam in there, then we do not require you to reach the threshold of 100 to 1. So Rashi says that's because the iser is eino be'ein. The iser is not there. Here it's just a tam issue. It's not an issue that the iser is still in the mixture, in the tarovet. Since there's no iser in the tarovet, it's just the flavor that's left behind, then once you eliminate the flavor, you don't need the other threshold. But in cases where the iser is still extant, according to Rashi, then you would need both ein bo minotein tam, plus you would need the threshold of 61 or 100 to 1, in this case because it's truma, in order to overcome the problem. So that's the kula over here. It's min she'eino mino. As long as it ein bo minotein tam, you don't need 100 to 1, and Rashi says it's only true when the iser is not extant there. And then, obviously, the tzad, the hafmir by min she'eino mino, is when there's tam. And when there's tam, 100 to 1 is not going to help you because there is tam. So that would be the explanation of the hakel ula hachmir by the case of min she'eino mino. And by min she'eino mino, it's always the hachmir. That means whether you have tam, then tam wipes you out and you can't do anything. Or whether you don't have tam, then you still need 100 to 1 when there's ein bo tam. Now, Tosafot is bothered by, I think, the question that you're asking as well, which is that from what Rashi says, Ama letzarich leperusho dehocha mairik gon shehisir grisim mitoch adashim. Sounds like he took the grisim out of the adashim. And he says, that's not such an easy task or feat to get the grisim out of the adashim. Bekasha leperusho, amai nakat reishas or shelchitim shenafala tochisa shelchitim. And then we're going to see in a second, the example of the reisha the Gemara is going to bring for them, the Mishnah, is a case where you have a rising agent or a sourdough that falls into chitim, which is a case of min b'mino. He says, according to Rashi, you don't need min b'mino to be l'hachmir. According to Rashi, even min she'eino mino, you're machmir as long as the item's extant. So then why do you need the reisha case to be a min b'mino? The reisha case could have been min she'eino mino as long as the item was still in there. If it's in there, then you're going to have a problem, according to Rashi, and you will always need to get over the threshold of 100 to 1. Whether you have tam or you don't have tam, you're going to have to get over the threshold of 100 to 1. If you have tam, then it's not going to help you at all. If you don't have tam, then 100 to 1 will be the threshold, but you can never be below 100 to 1. So Tosafot in the end tries to squeeze for Rashi and say, for Rashi, you're going to have to say is that the finish of the ratio is even after the sourdough is taken out, you still have a problem. And that's the chiddush of the reisha. But he says, he says, you don't really have to do this and press this all into the Mishnah. Even if the iser is there, 60 to 1 works. That's it. Not like Rashi. Rashi says, if the iser is there, you need both, ein bo notein tam, and the threshold. That's what it says, what are you talking about? Ein bo tam is what you're looking for in the thresholds. So then once you don't have ein bo tam, then you don't have to worry, even if the iser is extant. Since he doesn't recognize it, you can't see it clearly. It's only by mino that you need 100 to 1. And that's clear that mino is where the threshold of 100 to 1 comes up because you took it out. It was 100 pieces or whatever it was. You took out the trumat maser, which is from this item, and then it fell back in. That's the case of min bimino. And therefore, for Tosfot, min bimino is where you have this problem. Min she'eino mino. Even if the item is extant, physically present, as long as it's mixed in, if it's ein bo tam, then you don't need to meet the threshold of 100 to 1. You just need to meet the threshold of, seemingly now, 60 to 1. And that shows you that 60 to 1 is the proxy for ein bo tam, according to the Baalei Tosafot. So now, the Gemara is now pressing a question on this idea that 100 to 1 is the level for Isur in other places. By saying over here, by Truma, we're saying you don't need to meet the Truma threshold of 100 to 1, but you need to meet some threshold. The Gemara says that threshold sounds like 60 to 1, which would be supportive of that view that 60 to 1 is what you need, because it's Serim Shiva Torah. The Gemara says, lo, bimeya means 100. So now, I'm going to use Rashi's explanation. The Baalei Tosafot disagree, and they come back with a totally different explanation. We'll follow through the Gemara with Rashi, then come back and discuss the Baalei Tosafot. You look at the top Rashi, he says, v'hochi kamar. Without the Isur, that is Mutar. So now, Rashi is basically influenced by the last question of the Gemara, which we'll see in a minute. Rashi says there are two different thresholds. When we say 101, which is what we mentioned in the Mishnah, 101 can be read in two ways. It can be 101 including the Isur, which means 100 of Heter, one of Isur, or 101 can mean 101 of Heter. What Rashi is suggesting now is that Me'avachad in the Mishnah means 101 of Heter. So now the Gemara says, if it's Ein Bo Menot Ein Tam, you don't need 101 of Heter. What do you need? 100 of Heter. So that it's just taking it down one level and saying that instead of dropping the level from 100 to 1 to 60 to 1, which is what it sounds like the Mishnah is saying, you don't need that threshold of 100 to 1, you need some other threshold of Ein Bo Tam, and we assume that meant 60 to 1, he's saying no. It's the 101 of Heter to a 1 of Isur is normally what you would require for Truma. Here, because it's Ein Bo Tam, you only need 100 to 1 instead of 101 to 1. Now you have a question. Vaha midresha b'meya habisefa b'shishim. If the resha is by meya, then the sefa must be b'shishim. The sefa is what we just read, the case of the grisim and the adashim. And now we're going to bring the resha case now, diktani resha, lehachmir. What is the case of lehachmir b'min b'mino? Teitzad, give me the example, please. So'or shel chitim, shenafali isat chitin. You have so'or, you have a sourdough of truma that fell into a dough of chulin. Ve'yesh bo kedei lechametz, and has the capacity to cause it to rise. It's sufficient sourdough to cause it to rise. Ben ve'yesh bo kedei lalot b'me'ah ve'achad. Ben ve'yesh bo kedei lalot b'me'ah ve'achad. Whether you have 101 or you don't have 101, a sur, it's always a sur. Ein bo lehalot b'me'ah ve'achad. Ben sheish bo kedei lechametz. Ben ve'yesh bo kedei lechametz, a sur. If you don't have 101 times, then whether it can cause the rising of the dough, or whether it cannot cause the rising of the dough, asur, they are asur. So that's the hachmir, which means no matter what the scenario is, you need to get over that threshold. If you have enough to be mechametz, the thresholds don't matter, because it's causing the rising, and therefore it's problematic, because it's influential over the chulin. If you don't have the requisite 101, then it doesn't matter whether it is or isn't able to cause it to rise. You don't have sufficient to be mevatelet. And so therefore, that's the hachmir in all cases. In all situations, the hachmir, it doesn't matter that it doesn't have the capacity to cause it to rise, because you still need 100 to 1 in that situation. Now, the questioner is saying, that ratio case, which is the case of mibimino lachmir, is saying that when is it the hachmir? What is the threshold you need? It's 101. So then, Resha v'seifa b'meya. So now the resha and the seifa are 100. How does that make sense? Meaning that if the resha case, which is the hachmir, requires 100 to 1, then you're going to tell me that the seifa also requires 100 to 1? The seifa says you don't need to meet the normal threshold. So it must have been a lower threshold. My answer is no. Resha b'meya v'chad, v'seifa b'meya. The resha is 101 and the seifa is 100. So for Rashi, that means the ratio is 101 of Heter to 1 of Isur. The Seifa is 100 to 1. 100 of Heter to 1 of Isur. And therefore, in the Seifa, you don't need to meet the threshold of the ratio. You don't have to get to 101 to 1. You only need to get to 100 to 1. The difficulty with that is, and this is what Tosafot points out, is that the Mishnah uses the word Me'ah v'chad in both cases. It used me'ah v'chad in the ratio and me'ah v'chad in the seifa. Now, according to Rashi, the me'ah v'chad means different things in each case. By the ratio, me'ah v'chad means 101 without the isur, and then the me'ah v'chad in the seifa means with the isur included. So he says, first of all, he says, how do you reconcile that? Meaning that the Mishnah is using the same term and it means different things. And number two is, what exactly was confusing the question over here? If the answer that was given was there's a difference between 101 to 1 to 100 to 1, then why is the questioner confused and saying, oh, what about the ratio? It's no problem. The ratio is a case of 101 to 1. So then why does he have a problem between the ratio and the seifa? We've already given the explanation that is the answer. The answer is there's a difference of 101 to 1 to 100 to 1. And that answer is given up front. So then why do you have a question that leads you back to the same answer? The answer the Gemara gave was 101 is different than 100. And then he says, well, how could that be? You have the ratio case, which is 101. So Gemara's answer again is, well, there's a difference between 101 and 100. That's, we already knew that information. So then what was the question in between? Those are the two things that bother the Balei HaTosafot. And now the Balei HaTosafot would say Rashi was very, very influenced by the last question of the Gemara, which is, even if it has the capacity to cause the item to rise, the sourdough has the capacity to cause it to rise, at 101 to 1, how is it not batel? How is it possible that this doesn't have sufficient capacity to be mevatelet? Ishtik, he had no response. Amar lei Abaye, Abaye says back to him, meaning that this is Abaye challenging the whole Masorah that was brought here by Baldimi, who brought down this hush, maitadah, this whole memra, and Abaye is challenging the memra piece by piece, and we're trying to answer it. So then Abaye now, after challenging him and saying, at 101, how could it be it's not batel? So Abaye says, I would answer on your behalf in order to support this, to say that sourdough is different. It's much more pungent. It has flavor, quote unquote, that exceeds what would normally be the case in other situations. Sourdough, by definition, is something that is very concentrated and powerful, and therefore the normal levels of bitul don't necessarily work. If 101 to 1 doesn't work by chimitzo, what level are you looking for in order to be mevatelet? The answer is, you might have to have a different number. There are exceptions to the rule, which is exactly what we're going to be getting to now, which is that 101 to 1, or whether 100 to 1, depending on whose gear set you have over here, that's only for normal situations or normal mixtures. But when you have a pernicious, pungent type of mixture, like a sourdough, the sourdough is going to carry its own type of level. It's not going to be 101 to 1. That's not going to do the trick for it. And when I have an example of that, he says, Amalei idkartan milto. Rav Dimi says, you reminded me now, the Amar Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina, lo kol ha-shirim shavim. Not all shirim are the same. Sharei tzir, shi'uro karov v'matayim. When it comes to the brine from non-kosher fish, the relationship or the ratio that you need is something close to 200 times. Because again, tzir or brine is something very pungent, something that's extremely salty, has acidic type of side to it. That's going to make it that it's going to give flavor even at much higher levels. Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Trumot that tells us, Dag Tameh, Tziro Asur. When you have a non-kosher fish, the brine that it's sitting in is problematic. Now, as the Balei Tosafot point out, Tzir of a Dag Tameh is only a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not a Din D'Oraita. And for that reason, there are many Kulot that are brought in Shulchan Aruch, most of which we do not subscribe to, because the Rama in each case says the minog is not to be make you like this. But the Shulchan Aruch is even willing to have kosher and non-kosher fish that are salted to be sold together, and that the kosher fish would be totally fine, because tzir dagim is only a problem midrabanan, and if you have the fish that are separate, that the kosher fish would have been okay. Now, we don't hold of any of this. We don't subscribe to any of this. But just knowing that the tzir dag tameh is derabanan allows for a lot of kulot with regards to it. Tosafot says, don't extrapolate from that to say that seer of meat or shratzim is then not d'oraita. Because he brings a drosha from the Torat Kohanim, and he says that drosha is a full-fledged drosha, and therefore seer of basar, or seer of shratzim, is a sur mi d'oraita. It's only seer of dagim that is a sur mi d'rabanan. And even though there they also have a limud in Torah Kohanim, that's only an asmachta bilvad. So now, tzir dagim, which is a problem midrabanan, relationship or ratios that you need is, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, revi'it bisatayim. The ratio or the relationship has to be a revi'it, which is a revi'it halog, to sa'atayim, to two sa'ah. The relationship between them has got to be something close to 200. A sa'ah has six kav in it. A kav has four log in it. That means that every sa'ah has 24 log. And then you're talking about a revi'it halog, one quarter of a log. So you have to multiply it by four again. So then you have 24 times four is 96. That means for a revi'it halog's relationship to a sa'ah is 1 to 96. Now you have sa'atayim. You have two sa'ah. So that's 96 plus 96, or two times 96, which is 192. So that's the relationship. Erevita log's relationship to Tusa'a is 1 to 192nd. 192 to 1, and that's the relationship or ratio that you need. And that's what we said before, that Rabbi Yosef Yochanan says it's nearly 200 times in order to be Mevatel. It's 192 to 1, and you see that that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So that gives us this sense that there are different levels or thresholds depending on the item. And what's true by the Tzir will also be true by the Mechametz, that the threshold of 100 to 1 or 101 to 1 is just not going to do the trick by a sourdough. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda min v'mino lo batil. Wait a minute. You're quoting me a Mishnah that where Rabbi Yehuda says that the seer of the Dag Tameh is batel at 192 to 1. Rabbi Yehuda is of the belief that when you have min v'mino, it's never batel. So how is he speaking about bitul over here when bitul doesn't apply by min v'mino? So if you have seer from a Dag Tameh that's mixed with seer from a kosher fish, then why is there any bitul over here? Tzir and tzir, that's min bimino. Where it says, shiny tzir, the zeya ba'al mahu. This is the reason that it's only midrabanan, which is tzir is not really something that has mamashut or real flavor. It's just they call it the sweat of the item that was in it there, which means that it's the items that exuded by the item, but it's not really the item itself. It's not really a flavor. Or in essence, what they're saying is a din derabanan. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who says, min b'mino, is not batel. In this case, in Tzir Tameh, he says that it works, it's only Zeya Bahamas, a din derabanan. Here, the Rishonim argue is whether this is a general principle that Rabbi Yehuda is making, or is this a particular Tzir Tameh? Meaning, do you say now that Rabbi Yehuda believes min b'mino is inu batel, only applies to dinim doraita, but by din derabanan, we would say that min b'mino is batel, and that's the view of the Rashba, that this is a generic principle of Rabbi Yehuda. Or you have the view of the Ritva, who says that this is unique, the tzir of Dag Tameh. That's something that's Zeya Ba'alma. But other dinim derabanan, we're dealing with the real Isur midrabanan, min b'mino also would not be batel. So that's a question as to how far we take this statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Enutam asks, why don't you say that the positions of Rabbi Yehuda here, one is Rabbi Yehuda's position, and one is in position of his Rebbe. Why doesn't he just say, Hadi Dei, Hadi Rabbe? So the Tosfot answers, you could have said that. The Gemara has a different answer, or a better answer, and therefore it uses it. But in Ochanami, if the Gemara was stuck, it would have said, Hadi Dei, Hadi Rabbe. That it's a difference between his position and his Rebbe's position. And in that way, we could have escaped the problem by saying that, maybe we know, Enu Batil is really quoted from his Rebbe, Rabban Gamliel. And the view here is his own position. But since we have another way to solve the problem, we don't need to resort to that. Alright, that's the view of Rashi as to how to read the Gemara. The Baalei Tosafot are bothered by the questions that we noted already, one of which is the Me'a Ve'Echad in the Reish and Sefer then are meaning two different things according to Rashi's explanation. And number two is, the answer that the Gemara gave in the beginning is the same answer it gives in the end. So then what was the questioner doing in between? What did he do wrong that he made a wrong assumption, and we give him the same answer, and he's satisfied? So why would you say that the first time it didn't work, and the second time it does work, when the same answer is given both the first and second time, which is the difference between 101 to 1 versus 100 to 1. That's the answer that we give him both times. Therefore, the Baalei Tosafot say, Nir lefareish, lo b'meya, klomar meya ima yisur, b'makshet salkadata de meya, b'lo yisur kamar. And the questioner thinks when he said 100, he meant 100 without the Isur. When the Gemara answers out, no, it means 100, it doesn't mean, like we've been saying in Rashi, 100 of Heter to 1 of Isur. It means 100 including the Isur. And if you 100 including the Isur, that really means 99 to 1, which normally is problematic. Over here, 99 to 1 will be the clearing factor because we're being makil by the case of Min She'enu Mino. So Tosafot says, that's what the Gemara said. It said, the answer is Me'a. Me'a means 99 to 1. The questioner made a mistake and misunderstood what Me'a meant. He thought Me'a meant 100 to 1. And therefore, he asked this question. How could it mean 100 to 1 if that's exactly what's said in the Reisha? Then there's no difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. And then how do you say that if the Reisha is Me'a, then how could it be that the Seifa is Me'a? And then the Gemara finally comes to the answer, which is that in the Reisha, when it said 101, It meant 101 with the Isur in it, which means 100 of Heter to 1 of Isur. The Seifa is a case of Meya Ima Isur, 100 with the Isur in it, 99 to 1. So in that way, you've actually then solved your problem, because the Meya Ve'akad, both in the Reisha and the Seifa, mean the same thing, which is 101 means 100 of Heter to 1 of Isur. When we say Meya, we mean 100, which includes the Isur, which means 99 to 1. And that's how Tosafot reads the Gemara. And then the final question, Behad the Porich at the end. That final question, when we say, if there's 101, which means 100 of Heter to 1 of Isur, why is it that the sourdough is not Batel? So that's a totally independent question. That's not going on all the statements before of saying 101 to 1 is so powerful that it works in all cases. 100 to 1 only works in some cases. Then why by sourdough is 101 to 1 not sufficient? That's the way Rashi reads it. He sees it as a continuation of the questioning. Tosafot says the Gemara is done with the Mishnah. It got the Mishnah solved. It says the Mishnah is speaking about a case of 101, which means 100 of Heter to 1 of Isur. And the case where you don't even need that threshold, it means 100. 100 means 99 to 1 and not 100 to 1. So then the question of the Gemara at the end is totally separate, which is, if the chametz or the mechametz doesn't really have a netinat tam gamur, it's not a full-fledged flavoring agent, kashar netinat tam, it's not like when you flavor something, you put in, whether it's spices, or you put in something that grants flavor and it spreads throughout, the sourdough is not a full-fledged flavor conveyor. And because of that, amaylo bato bekufalef. Then why isn't it already batel when you reach the levels of 100 to 1? Why isn't it batel? If 100 to 1 works with full-fledged flavor, why doesn't it work with chametz, where there's less than full-fledged flavor? And the answer of the Gemara is that chimutzo kasheh, sourdough, even though normally when you're talking about a mechametz, it doesn't necessarily give over full-fledged flavor, but because of the nature of sourdough, it actually flavors the entirety of the bread, which we know. When you put sourdough in there, even though it's a small amount, it has a disproportionate effect on the bread, and the bread takes on the flavor of the sourdough itself, and it permeates everything. So the chimutzo kasheh means that the sourdoughs in general, they give more punch per pound than other things. So even though it doesn't give over real time, it still has a greater or disproportionate impact on the item. That's why 100 to 1 is not going to work over here for the chimutz, because it's just too powerful. So that's the way Tosafot reads the Gemara as opposed to Rashi. Rashi reading it as a difference between 101 to 1 versus 100 to 1. And Tosafot reading it as a 100 to 1 versus 99 to 1. And Tosafot benefits in that way by, first of all, making that Mea Ve'achad throughout the Mishnah means the same thing, which means 100 to 1. And also explains why the questioner misunderstood. When he heard 100, he thought of 100 without the Isur, when the Gemara meant 100 with the Isur. And that's the mix-up that took place. And then they finally answer him and say, you're misunderstanding. It's 101 and 100. 101 with the Isur in it, which means 100 to 1. And 100 means 99 to 1. And that's what you misunderstood, and that's the solution according to the Balei HaTosafot. Ketzad Misha'arinan. Our Mishnah tells us, when you have Gid and Asher that's cooked into the thigh, that the way that you test to whether the Gid gave over flavor into the thigh is you measure it with Basar Belefet. You take meat, which represents the Gid and Asher, and you mix it with the turnips that have the same quantity as the remainder of the leg, and you see if the Basar gives flavor into the turnips. So on that, Amar Rav Huna, Ki Basar Beroshei Liftot. Over here, Rav Huna qualifies, what type of Lefet are you using? What are the turnips that you're using over here? Roshei Liftot. It's the tops of the Lefet. Rashi says it's the Yerek side, which means the upper part of the turnip. Rashi says the upper part of the turnip is much sweeter versus the lower part of the turnip, or the rooted part where it narrows, that part of the turnip has less flavor to it. So therefore, when you're dealing with the tail of the turnip, it has less inherent flavor, and therefore the flavor of the meat is much more apparent in it. The upper part of the lefet is sweeter, and therefore it has its own inherent flavor, so you need more meat or meat flavor in order to overcome that. And that's how Rav Huna explains Moshe Liftot over here, that you need a higher threshold. It's basically the kula, which is that you need more basar, more flavor to overcome the flavor of the turnips. And that's his explanation of the Lefet in the Mishnah. The Balei Tosafot disagree and say Rosh Liftot is just the opposite. He says, Ein Mashma Kein to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mashma Sheina Shorashim Bakarka. Rosh Liftot means the bottom of the turnip, not the top of the turnip. You either can say Rosh because it's shaped like a head. The actual base of the turnip is rounded and comes to like a rounded point, which is like the top of someone's head, and that's why they call it the Rosh Liftot. Or you have this problem all the time when the Gemara describes Lamata and Lamala, above and below. It always depends on the perspective. Does up mean further away, or does up mean closer to the beged itself? For instance, we had that by Tzitzit, the same argument. So do over here, Rosh Liftot. Does Rosh Liftot mean the top of the turnip when it's upright in the ground? Or top means the furthest part away, which would be the roots, which is the furthest from you. That's the Rosh. The Rosh is always the furthest away. Either way, Tosafot says Rosh Liftot are the root or the base of the turnip. Just the opposite of what Rashi says over here. Mar says, Matnitan Gloka Haitano. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tanya. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Omer, Ein Begidim ben Otein Tam. Gidim don't give over any flavor. Well, if they don't give over any flavor, then there's nothing to discuss over here with regards to basar and turnips, because there's no flavor being imparted. Haudatan Gamedi Rabbi Chanina. So there was someone who came to Rabbi Chanina after cooking a Gidin Hashem in a thigh of the animal, and he wanted to know what to do. Habayoti Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina Ababa. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina was sitting at the doorway of the area or the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Chanina when the questioner went in. Kinopak, when he exited, the questioner exited after getting a psak from Chanina. Amalei Mayamar Lecha says to him, what did he tell you? What psak did he give you? Amalei Sharia Niale. He said it was mutar, don't worry about it at all. Amalei Hadar Aile Lekameh. Go back in and ask him again. So basically, he's questioning the psak of Rabbi Chanina and telling him, go back in and ask the question again. We had a similar story earlier on in the Masechta with somebody sitting on the door, and then the questioner comes out, the person on the door says, go back in and ask again. Basically, he's saying, I don't agree with the psak. So Amar, so now Rabbi Chanina says, Manhai Dekametzarli, who is this who's causing me problems and is trying to undermine my position? Zel Emalei, Laman Diyotim Ababa. Go tell that guy that's sitting by the doorway, Eim Gidim Benotein Tam. There's no time in Gidim, and it doesn't matter. I'm not going to change my psak over here. I have no problem with my psak. The reason it's mutar is because they don't give off tam. If they don't give off tam, then there's nothing to talk about. You just peel it out, take it out, and then the thigh is going to be fine. Kiata the kameh de Rabbi Yami. So when people used to come before Rabbi Yami with these types of cases where they had cooked, roasted, or salted, they get in a chef with the whole thigh intact. Mishadule the kameh de Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chaluv. He used to send them over to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chaluv to get a psak. He says, you know what? I don't think you want to ask me this question. I think you're better off asking Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chaluv. Demori Balei HaTeira Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because he paskins the hat there like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, meaning that he believes Ein Begidim Beno Tein Tam. Balei Lo Sfirlei. Rabbi Yami himself didn't agree with that. But he knew that Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chaluv had that psak, and it was a strong Masorah that he had, and therefore was a valid psak. Even though he disagreed with it, he knew it was a valid psak. And even when you disagree, you can see that someone else has a valid alternate opinion. So he said, for the sake of the people, don't come to me, go to him and ask the question, because he knew that it would be matarit, and Rabbi Yami didn't want to be oser for people just because he felt it was wrong. Ve'ilchata, the halacha is, ein begidim benotein tam. That is the halacha, that gidim don't have a notein tam. Rashi notes that even though the halacha is that ein begidim benotein tam, that's only true of the gid itself, not about the fats that are around the gid. Although Tosafot back on top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph says that both the Ravenu Tam, who limits it somewhat, and the Rivam more explicitly, who says that since the din of the chalev of the gid that surrounds it is only a din derabonon, therefore they were only gozer where the gid was asur. But if the gid was not asur, they weren't machmir. And that would mean that if you think that the gidim are veinu menotein tam, that would also mean that the shuman that's around them would not be problematic according to the Rivam. Tosafot says that if you believe ein begidim menotein tam, that means that gidin asher is asur v'ana'a. The isur then that devolves upon the gidin asher is not simply an isur achila, but also an isur hana'a. If it's benotein tam, then you can say it's only a din in isur achila, not an Isur Hanan. That has to do with the relationship or interaction between a Gidin Hashem and a Veilo. But those of us says, from that you know that it's Asur Banah. That means, if you sell a thigh to a goy that has the Gid and Asheh in it, why isn't there a problem with Isra Hana'ah? So Tosafot says that if you cut open the thigh and you left the Gid and Asheh in there and then you sold it to the goy, it's not a problem. Because over there, he only pays for the things that he can eat or pay the things that have flavor. So when he pays you, he's paying for everything besides the Gid and Asheh. So you're getting no Hana'ah from the Gid and Asheh. On the other hand, if you do not tear it open, and you give him the whole leg with everything intact with the Gid and Asheh inside of it, there you are getting Hana'ah from the Gid and Asheh, because it's something called mitchabei lifnei chaveiro. It's a piece of meat that is considered to be chashuv or significant because it's whole and it's in entirety. And that is a Hana'ah that is being provided by the Gid and Asheh. Since you left the Gid and Asheh in there and you left it whole, that's what's giving you extra credit in a sense for the value of this leg. And then for there, you are garnering Hana'ah from it, and you cannot sell a leg like that to the goy, because the Gid and Asheh is now providing you with additional benefit or Hana'ah. So Tosafot distinguishes between a case where the Gid and Asheh is in, but you cut it, so it no longer has this standing of being a whole piece and a whole entity, and therefore there's a depreciation of the value, and then he only buys what's good, not the Gid and Asheh, which isn't meaningful to him. But in a case where you leave it totally whole and intact with the Gid and Asheh in it, then you are benefiting from the Gid and Asheh, because that whole piece will fetch a higher price, and that's because you didn't deal with the Gid and Asheh. If that's the case, you're getting Hana'ah from the Gid and Asheh. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, Gid and Asheh shnit bashel. If you have a Gid and Asheh that is cooked together with other Gidin that are mutarim, in that case, if you know which one is the Gid and Asheh and you pull it out, as long as it wasn't no tain tam, then it was fine. Gemara wants to know, why do you have to pull it out? One issue is the issue of tam. So I understand what the tam problem is, and then we need a ratio to deal with tam. But if it's just a question of the Gid of Isur being in there versus the Heter, why don't we say the Batel Beruba? In general, anytime you have something that is Batel, it's Batel Berub. So yes, we know now there's no flavor in there. As far as the Isur being in there, just say it's Batel Berub, and why do you have to pull it out? Where it says, Birya Shiny. When you have an entity, it is different. When you have something that has standing or chashivut, it's not batel berov. And of course, biri over here, we'll have to take on the definition that we discussed before. Number one, it has to be shalem, it has to be something that's whole or in its entirety. Number two is, according to many, it has to be something that was created that way. Its shame was on it from the moment it was created, not something where the status changed later. Some, like the Ran, even add in a qualification, it has to be from something that is a living organism. Meaning, in essence, it requires that it have a nefesh or a neshama in order for it to be classified as a birya. Tosafot brings, afilu be'elef lo batel, even in 1,000 to 1, it's not batel. V'chein chaticha ruya l'tchabed lo betela. Similar to what we just said before, you have a piece of meat, which is something of significance that if you would send it as a gift to someone, like the leg we said before that's totally whole, that's also something that's chashuv. It's significant and it's not batel because of its significance. So anytime you have something that has chashivut to it, it no longer is batel in the normal regulations of bitol, because it always has standing. The davar she'eino lo birya v'lo chaticha ruya l'tchabed batel berov. Something that doesn't have significance, means it's not its own entity, it's not a birya b'fnei atzmo, it's also not chashuv to be presented before someone, then in those cases it would be batel berov. So even though you know there's a non-kosher piece in there, if the majority are kosher pieces, you don't need to worry about it if there's no notain tam. Vafilu iser midrabanan leka. There's not even an iser midrabanan to eat it. Kamash ma'ocha. Umiyo shema lachat gavra hayasur. Maybe for one individual to eat all the pieces would be problematic. And that is a machloket that's brought down by the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuftet, machloket the Rosh, and others, whether when you have 2 pieces of kosher meat, and you have a 3rd piece of non-kosher meat that fell in, and there's no notain tam, it should be batel berov. You have 2 kosher, 1 non-kosher meat, batel berov. How do you view that bitol that has happened over here? Is the bitol so powerful that you now have 3 pieces of heter over here? And any individual could eat all 3 pieces because you have heter. The bitol changes the halachic standing of the non-kosher piece to a piece that is now kosher. And if that's the case, you can eat all 3 pieces, even 1 person. On the other hand, there's a view in the Rishonim that bitol works as a hachra'ah. It's a factor for decision. It doesn't change reality. If that's the case, when you have 2 kosher ones and 1 of tumah, then you have to say, one of these is not kosher. Any one that I pick out is likely from the kosher ones because I have robe of kosher. But that means in the end, I'm going to have to leave one over here because by definition, one of them is problematic. If I ate all three of them, then I clearly ate that which was problematic. One person can't eat all three pieces. You have to leave one piece behind. On the other hand, anybody else who comes along and eats it will assume the first one that went out was the tamei one. The two that are left are the kosher one. So as long as it's not one person eating it, then you can assume that the tamei one was already dealt with, and then whatever you're taking is coming from the rove. There is a view there also, brought by the Shulchan Aruch, that you have to pull one out before you start. Just take one out to be representative of the tamei, and then you can eat the remainder of the items. But here the Baal HaTosafot says, Shema Lachad Gabra Yasur. He is contemplating whether, when you have this robe that is mevatel, is it so significant and successful that you don't have to worry about Isur at all? Or maybe one person shouldn't eat all those items. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on the top of Kuf Amud Aleph.